There was an overweight businessman who decided it was time to shed some pounds. And he took his new diet very seriously. He changed his driving route so that he wouldn't go past his favorite bakery. That bakery had lots of wonderful desserts and just delicious coffee cakes. However, one morning, he just got on autopilot, as a lot of times we do. So he went past that bakery, and oh, he could even smell the food, and he could see these gigantic coffee cakes in the window. Now, he goes into his place of business, and he's carrying one of these coffee cakes. His co-workers scold him. "What do you mean? You just started this diet and now you..." And he said, "No, wait. He said, "God wanted me to have this coffee cake." He said, "I forgot and I accidentally went by the bakery this morning and there in the window was this coffee cake." And he said, "I felt this was no accident. So I prayed, Lord, if you want me to have one of these delicious coffee cakes, give me a sign. Let me have a parking place in front of the bakery." And sure enough, he continued, after going around the block 8 times, there was a space. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't grant every prayer that we pray? If so, I would also be a lot larger than I am. As a pastor, I get this question frequently. And the question goes something like this. You know, the Bible says, Pastor, ask it will be given to you. I keep asking, so why haven't I received anything? Well, let's take a look at the verse. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now at this point, Cheryl would take over for a while. And I thought about just... I'm in it for the long haul today. Have you ever said, or have you heard someone say something like this? I've been praying for my husband or my wife or my son or my daughter to stop drinking, and he or she has not. Or I've been praying for a job, but I can't find one. Or I've been praying for my wife's depression, but nothing seems to change. Or I've been praying for guidance, and there seems to be none from God. I've spoken to many people who wrestle with this, the agony of unanswered prayer. How does God respond to our prayers? Believe it or not, God always answers our prayers, but sometimes in ways that we do not expect. And in fact, God responds to our prayers in one of four ways. No, slow, grow, or let's go. The first is with the answer no. In verse 11, it says that God gives his children good gifts. If we ask God for a fish, he won't give us a snake. And that's good because I'm scared of them. But what happens when we ask for a snake, but not a fish? There are such things as wrong or inappropriate prayer requests. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them in Matthew 6:9, "Then this is how you should pray." And last week, Cheryl did a sermon on the Lord's Prayer. In prayer, we seek that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes we just don't understand what God's will is for our lives. And remember the time when Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus to the top of a high mountain. Suddenly, God's glory descended upon Jesus. And the three disciples stood back in awe because they've never seen anything like this before. And we refer to it as a transfiguration. They were so taken with this that Peter said to Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 4, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." So in other words, Peter was saying,
allow
us to build these shelters and let us just live up here.
The rest of our lives, just bask in your glory.
And Jesus' response to Peter was, "No, what are you thinking of?" He said he would not grant that request. There was work to do, and his plan was not to stay up here on the mountain basking in God's glory. So the answer, Peter, no. Sorry, Peter, wrong request. And we know, too, that one time James and John's mother went to Jesus, as well as James and John, and they asked about if they could get the best reservations in the future kingdom. One wants one to be on the left side, and one wanted to be on the right side. Well, I'm going to put contemporary language. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And Jesus says, "What would you like?" And they replied, "One on the left, one on the right." No, the request was wrong. It was inappropriate. Another time, Jesus and the disciples were traveling through Samaria. And he sent messengers on ahead who went into the Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him. Because he was going to Jerusalem. He was a Jew. He was not a Samaritan. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy these people?" And Jesus turned and rebuked them. They went on to another village. The disciples were upset by the Samaritan's response, and they asked, "Can we destroy them?" But Jesus came to transform people, not to torch them. And so Jesus said, "No." And the disciples had been walking with Jesus for 3 years, and they still have inappropriate requests. And when the requests are wrong, Jesus says no. However, all of us are capable of making wrong requests to God. I know I am, and I'm sure we all are. I've made wrong requests in the past, and we'll do so in the future, I'm sure. And there will be times when God says to me, "Paul, the answer is no." In hindsight, I can thank God for saying no to prayers that I thought that were appropriate. And now, by hindsight, I say to the Lord, "Thank you, thank you, thank you that you said no to that particular request." Listen to this story. There's a mom who's pushing her shopping cart to the checkout aisle, and little girl's beside her. Now, she happens to look a couple aisles down, and she sees the most gorgeous doll. So you know what she's going to say to mom, especially since her birthday's 11 days away. Mom, can I have that beautiful doll? Now, the mother had budgeted money for the little girl's birthday, and she had already bought a nice big dollhouse, which the daughter had been requesting for a long time. She didn't have money for the doll, and so she had to say, no, can't do it. And the little girl put her head down and was very dejected, and she says, you never get me anything that I want. Now, the mother thought about this for a moment, and the mother kind of cringed because she had just acted that same way before God just a few days before. She had prayed for something that God chose to withhold. She hadn't stopped to think that God's no today might be a prelude to unimaginable blessings tomorrow. And that was a story that I got from Deborah Rao. Consider the second story. There's a grandmother and a granddaughter, and the granddaughter loved her grandmother. But one night, the son was talking to the grandmother, her mom, his mom. And she was saying, you know, I'm having heart problems. I can feel my heart pounding at night. I can even hear it. The little girl heard that. So as the little girl was saying a prayer that night, the father walks by her room and he hears the little daughter saying, and Lord Jesus, please make grandma's heart stop so she can get some rest. Inappropriate prayer. At least I think the grandmother probably thought that. You know, if you have been praying diligently about a matter and sensing resistance from heaven, perhaps you need to review your request and ask, is this what God really wants for me or not? Maybe the request is a cop-out on your part. Maybe it's an unwillingness to face a real issue. And maybe the request is destructive in ways that you don't understand. Maybe the request is self-serving. Maybe the request is short-sighted, and maybe the request is too small, and God might have something better for you than mine. The second way that God sometimes answers prayer is with the word slow. Slow down. In other words, the time is just not right. It's wrong. Parents, have you noticed that there are two words in the English language that children do not care for other than no? Not yet. Not yet. Have you ever started off on a trip and you're not too far down the road? And either a son or daughter says to you, are we there yet? Now imagine you're going from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Disney World. Every 15 minutes, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. After a while, you just want to put something in your ears so that you don't hear those words. Here's a story. It's 4 days from Christmas, and little Johnny says, can I open my present? I've been good this year. It's close enough. What do you say? Not yet. Or your daughter says, Mom, I am 9 years old. And I want to wear whatever I want, including makeup to school every day. And I'm sure you probably said, not yet. Children hate those words, and so do we. Surely do. The child in all of us wants God to meet every need, to grant every request, to move every mountain as soon as we ask. But our all-knowing, all-wise Heavenly Father deems it best to say, sometimes very caringly, to his children, not yet. God is no more intimidated by our childish fixation on instant gratification than our wise parents were. He simply chooses from time to time to shake his head at our immaturity and say, okay, go ahead, kick and scream, have your tantrum, but it's still not yet. And often God isn't saying no, he's just saying, excuse me, down the line. It's not quite yet. He wants us to trust him that he knows what he is doing. As we have read from Isaiah 55, verse 8 before, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. God's ways are infinitely higher than ours. We see in part, but God sees in full. And there are many times in my life when I thought my prayers were going unanswered, only to find out later that God was simply saying, not yet, so that he could fully orchestrate a greater miracle, a much greater thing than I had faith to pray for in the beginning. We all tend to prescribe the answers to our prayers, don't we? We like to pray, and we have in our thoughts what we feel is the appropriate way to respond to our situation. So we think that God can only come up with one answer. But Scripture teaches us that God sometimes answers our prayers by allowing things to become much worse before they become better. How often have you said to yourself, okay, well, we had this bad situation. Now we had number two, three, that's it. That's the last situation that we're going to have to worry about. But he may sometimes do opposite of what we anticipate. Yet it is a fundamental principle in the life and walk of faith that we must always be prepared for the unexpected when we are dealing with God. Andrew Murray said, beware your prayers above everything of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can and should do. Be very careful in insisting that you know better than God just when a prayer request should be granted. God has his reasons for the not yets. Sometimes the issue is simply that we are not spiritually ready for the answer. Time is required in developing patience, trust, endurance, and character. God is more concerned with our character than our comfort, instant gratification, or personal convenience. Sometimes God says no, other times God says slow. The third way that God sometimes answers our prayers is through the word grow. This means that sometimes our own actions or inactions are the problem and stand in the way of God granting the request that we seek. Here's some examples. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled, and then come and offer your gift. 1 Peter 3, 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect, and as heirs with you of a gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It is a lot easier to point the finger at God for not answering prayer than it is to look in the mirror and to say that maybe I'm the problem. Here's a story about Norman Vincent Peale. He told a story when he was a young boy. He was walking along the alleyway, and he saw a cigar. Well, you know, adults smoke cigars, so he grabbed a hold of that cigar. He found a match, he lit it. He started to puff away. It really didn't taste good. It didn't smell good. So there in the alley, he happens to see his dad, who's walking down towards him. He knows the dad's not going to be happy. So he takes the cigar and puts it behind his back. And he hails his dad. But he had to have a diversion. So up on the wall, he saw as an ad for the circus. Okay. Dad, can I go to the circus, please? Well, that's maybe all of us can go when it comes to town. And his father's reply taught Norman an important lesson that he never forgot. Son, he answered quietly but firmly, never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide a smoldering disobedience. Another story. An estimated 500,000 tons of water rushes over Niagara Falls every minute. On March 28, 1948, the falls suddenly stopped. Now, people that were living within the sound of the falls were overwhelmed by the silence. They believed it was a sign that the world was coming to an end. It was 30 hours before the rush of the falls started up again. So what happened? Heavy winds had set the ice fields of Lake Erie in motion, and tons of ice jammed the Niagara River entrance near Buffalo, and stopped the flow of the river until the ice shifted again. Consider this. The flow of God's grace in our lives can be blocked by cold indifference. It is no use to ask God with fictitious earnestness for plan A when our whole mind is in reality filled with plan B. We want this, but we're telling God we want that. We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. And that's by C.S. Lewis. God wants what is the best for us. And I doubt that many of us understand just how badly he wants to touch that difficult situation or to move that mountain in our lives. When we pray and all these things line up, then we are in God's plan. And the time is right. And that's when God says, let's go. Because we matter to him, and it's in his heart to meet your needs and grant your requests. Archbishop Trench said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is laying hold of His highest willingness." Some things are proved by the unbroken uniformity of our experiences. The law of gravity is established by the fact that in our experience, all bodies without exception obey it. Now, even if all things that people prayed for happened, which they won't, this would not prove what Christians mean by the efficacy of prayer. For prayer is request. The essence of request, as distinct from compulsion, is that it may or may not be granted. And that comes from C.S. Lewis. Shortly after Dallas Theological Seminary was founded in 1924, it almost came to the point of bankruptcy. All the creditors were going to foreclose at noon on a particular day. That morning, the board of directors and the president met together. In that prayer meeting was a man by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside. When it was his turn to pray, he prayed in his characteristic manner, "Lord, we know that the cattle on a thousand hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money." As they were praying, a tall Texan with boots on and an open collar steps in to the business office and says, "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. And I've been trying to make a business deal with that money, but it keeps falling through. And I feel compelled to give the money to the seminary. I don't know if you need it or not, but here's the check." The secretary took the check and, knowing how critical things were financially, went to the door of the prayer meeting and timidly knocked on the door. When she finally got a response, the president of the school took the check out of her hand. It was exactly the amount of the debt. Recognizing the name of the cattleman, he turned to Dr. Ironside and said, "Harry, God sold the cattle." You know, in conclusion, we have a number of prayers for ourselves and for others. But we just have to keep in mind that some answers are no, some answers are slow down or slow, some we need to grow a little bit more before we receive it. And there are some where God says, "Let's go." And He'll take our hand. Where are you at with your prayers? Something to think about for the coming week. Amen.